name, and you are not ashamed to call us your own. Father, thank you. Thank you for what you have done, what you are doing in our midst, and what you are still yet to do amongst us, O Lord. Father, we lift up your name, our God. You are worthy of all glory, of all honor, of all majesty, of all praise. It's unto you that we come, because, Lord, it's not because we have done anything of ourselves. It's not because we are anything that you have chosen us, O Lord. Father, but we give thanks. We give thanks that we are called according to your purpose. We are part of those whom you have by grace appointed to be heirs of salvation. Thank you, Father. None of us could do it of ourselves, but we give thanks. Thank you for the gift of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for that which he did on the cross on our behalf. May all the glory redound unto you, our God. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, my wife just told me that, Grandma, you have a testimony? Okay. Would you like to share it with us? All right. Okay. Oh, Grandma wants to dance. All right. I didn't know it was that kind of testimony. Jehovah Jireh. Come and join nothing. Hallelujah.
Jehovah Jireh has done
all well.
Come and join us,
sing hallelujah,
oh hallelujah. Come and join me, oh hallelujah. Has done me well. Come and see, oh, see, come and see, oh. Come and see what the Lord has done. It is marvelous. Come and see, come and see. It is marvelous in Jehovah Ray. Jehovah Ray. Our God, you reign. You are lifted up
above other gods.
You are lifted up
above other gods.
Jesus, you are lifted up
above other gods.
Jesus, you are lifted up
above other gods.
Oh, Lord, we lift your name. Lord, we lift your name. Let us lift his name. Let us lift his name. Lift his holy name. Lift his great name. Lift his mighty name. Lift his healing name. Shout hallelujah. 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 Shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we lift your name, Lord, we lift your name, let us lift his name, lift his name, lift his holy name, lift his mighty name, lift his great name, lift his awesome, shout hallelujah, hallelujah,
hallelujah,
hallelujah,
hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's all be seated.
Good morning, sons and daughters. Because these are my children. Over 20 years, I know my pastor. I met my pastor at Howard University.
Grandma said we've known each other for 20 years. Okay, you are right. Actually, I think it's over 30 years now. Yes, because I got into Howard in 94. So I've been in the U.S. now 31 years. I've lived more here than I've lived in Nigeria. Oh, well, they're going to... You know, so Uncle America, right? Amazing. My brethren, you see, these things, don't let's take them for granted. We as Christians, we face many things. And when we have cause to give thanks, let's give thanks. Because it's not every case that turns out the way we pray for. And if it does turn out that way, let us not forget to come back to give thanks. Mitun, where is she? I think I saw Mitun jumping up. Hallelujah! Oh yeah, come here. Did you see your mother flinging off her shoes? How are you? God bless you. May the Lord protect you continuously. Lord, keep you for us.
Amen.
Because I want to wear a bad and dance. You know what
don't
I mean?
Don't worry, we all want to do that.
Okay. All right, there. Okay. Amen. Amen. You know, Sister Stacy came some time ago to give thanks about her being free from brain tumors. You know. I also had a friend in England, long-time friend, had brain tumors, 5 years, she's gone. You know, so that's why I said, when we have cause to give thanks, let us give thanks. It doesn't always turn out that way, but God will be glorified in all things, you know. I don't feel like preaching anything today. It's just God is just working, you know, it's just worthy to be praised. Worthy to be praised. All right. I'll just say a few words before we close. Let's open our Bibles. Brother Ken read from John chapter 3. And there are some things that many people struggle with, spiritually and naturally. We ask the question in our families, do my parents love me? Husband and wife, they ask, does my husband love me? Does my wife love me? Even with our Heavenly Father, we ask that question, does God love me? Many times we ask that question, most especially when we come to crossroads in life, we ask that question, does God love me? Has anybody ever been in that situation where I have been? So I'm only asking just to see, you know, whether you've ever been in that situation before, where you come to a crossroad in life. Sometimes it's not even a crossroad in life. Situations happen, and you begin to question, does God love me? You've been there before. We're not alone. Everybody's been there at one time or the other. One of the reasons why I am a Christian, I'll tell you, is because of the love that I see in the God of Christianity. Because it's only in Christianity, at least as far as I know, and I have looked into a few religions, but it's only in Christianity that the concept of God being a father is. If you go into Islam, they will tell you God doesn't have any children. He cannot be a father. He's God. But there's no concept of God being a father. So you always have to do things to be worthy of the love of that God. In Buddhism, in Hinduism, in Zoroastrianism, name it. It's only in Christianity that there's the concept of God being a father. And it's so important because we see in the creation of God how God has given us earthly fathers. And though imperfect, because the first concept of love is supposed to be within a close-knit family, within somebody who has given birth to another. Because it is out of love that you give birth to your children. But unfortunately, because of sin that has entered the world, the image of the father loving beyond all things has been marred. So many times within the world today, when there was a conference that my wife and I went to, it was a marriage conference a long time ago, and there was a session where the men were separated from the women. And I was in the men's section, naturally. And they asked a question of the men, that how many of you know that your father loves you? I don't think there are up to 10 hands that went up out of like 100 people. And then they asked, if you were to use one word for the relationship or who your father was to you, what word would you use? And you'll hear words like abusive, alcoholic, he never loved my mother, dropout, deadbeat. And because I saw this, I knew that the concept of what a father is supposed to be, Satan has blurred it out and marred it because of sin in the world. Another statistic I heard was that if you go to prison, out of 100 prisoners, if you are to ask every prisoner, what was your relationship like between your father and you? Maybe only one out of 100 will attempt to say that I had a good relationship with my father. But one thing I know, and one thing I'm trying to, if God will permit and help me, to pass across today, is that the love of our God, our heavenly father, is not like the love of any earthly father. Even Jesus Christ said that if your earthly fathers, being evil, know how to give good gifts to their children, how much more your father who is in heaven? Some fathers try, genuinely, but it's virtually impossible or very hard if you've never seen a model of what love is for you to be able to model the same to others. Some children, what they know of love is, you know, the day my father doesn't slap me, that means he loves me. And so they growing up, what do you think? How do you think they will pattern their own relationship with their children? You know, there was something I was watching on WhatsApp. Somebody sent a clip about a child that was, I think, learning Quran and didn't learn it properly. And if you see the big stick they were using to whip that child, ah. But we have a God. If I were to ask us, the God you serve, what tells you that God loves you? Sister Bola, what tells you that God loves you? You know, here is classroom. We're not for TV, so. His promises in his word. Okay? His promises in the word. Brother Usman, what tells you that God loves you?
Sends us the Holy Spirit.
And he sends
saves
us.
Me time and time again.
It saves you time and time again. Okay? Sister Ejiro, what tells you that God loves you?
The gift of life first, because it's when you are alive that you can acknowledge so many things. Waking up in the mornings, I'm like, oh my God.
Okay.
Yes. This is love.
That's love.
Because I can't wake myself.
Okay. How about Sister Comfort?
He gave his only life for me.
He gave his own life for you.
Yes.
Okay. Mommy. Mommy Olubumi.
I believe God really loves me because I'm still alive today.
Because you have life today.
Life today, yes.
Okay. Sister Shade. Adeleke.
The presence of the Holy Spirit, the confirmation that God is always with me.
Okay. My Auntie Lola, you all don't know, that is the person who settled me in America. Rakunli will say something, Sha.
Of all his promises that he had promised, and I've seen the manifestation. I always see the manifestation in my life.
God's promises in your life.
Right. Every time.
Amen. Rakunle, oh yeah, tell us.
For the gift of salvation.
The gift of salvation. Because God saved you.
Yes.
Ah, thank God.
I'm also thanking God too. And all also, right. Not only for the promises, for the ones that I've also received.
Yeah.
Not for the ones that I'm looking forward to. But there's a lot I've also received as well. So it's been a good God to me.
Mm. Amen. 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 So if we all listen to ourselves, you'll see that we all have something that God has done. Something that God has given. Something that we have received. Okay. Let me add one more, because everybody is right. But there's one more I want to add, which I believe is the greatest picture of the love our Father has for us. And like I said, which I believe. It doesn't mean that that is it. This is what I believe. Is the greatest picture that shows me my Father's love for me. Okay. Let's open to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. And I want to paint the picture for us today. It won't take me too long. 2 Corinthians 5, 21. And Mitun, would you read for us, please?
For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ.
One more time.
For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ.
Many of us, when we talked about it, we said, because God saved me, because of the gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit is not given to somebody who is not saved. But there's something God has to do, or God did, before all of us were saved. And from what she read, God did something. What did God do to his own son? Sorry? Eh? Okay. God put all our sins, God put it on him. God made him sin. Okay. Do we know what it means when it says God made him sin? You know, there's a difference between sin and sins. Many of us don't know that there's a difference between sin and sins. Sin is our nature before we are born again. We don't sin because we are human. We sin because we have the nature of sin within us. We sin, listen well, we sin because we are sinners. And a sinner is the person who has the nature of sin within them. So when they are doing evil, it's their nature. They don't know otherwise. I told you guys some time ago, I came, you know when they say somebody swears like a fisherman? Have you ever had that term before? You've never, sorry, not so a fisherman, sailor. You're right. Like a sailor, somebody swears like a sailor. There actually is a term like that. I met a workman in a building construction company once where after 3 or 4 letters, he uses a 4-letter word, swear word. And I saw that this guy, he couldn't help it because that was his nature. He was speaking his own vocabulary. The same way the Bible says that when Satan tells a lie, he's telling his own truth. Because that is his nature. His nature is one of deception, one of lying. If Jesus was to tell a lie, he would be going against his own nature. If Satan were to tell the truth, he would be going against his own nature. So it's the sin nature within man that makes us detestable, that God cannot bring us close to himself, because God cannot behold sin. God cannot behold sin. So God had to do something. Because God created us, yes, gave us the free will to choose him or to reject him. And everybody, by that nature of Adam, we rejected God. And God did something through his son. Because if God were not to judge the sins of the world, he would be unjust. If he talks about justice, that means that if you don't face justice here, in the hereafter, you will face justice. And if there's no justice at all in here or the hereafter, then God is an unjust God. And for God to be a just God, he had to do something that would, on one hand, preserve his nature of justice, and on the other hand, spare those whom he has created from his wrath. You know, the Bible says that the wages of sin is what? Is death. The wages of sin is death. And that death is not only physical death. You know, there are some people who are born once and they die twice. There are some people who are born twice and can only die once. Do we know what that means? So God had to take my sin, your sins, and put it on his son so that he could pour his wrath on whom?
on his son. And the wrath of God was poured on the Lord Jesus Christ on that cross, which we call the cross of Calvary. That for me is the greatest picture of God's love. I cannot imagine me doing the same to my daughter. But God, because he didn't save me when I was clean, he saved me when I hated him, when I was a sinner, when my nature was not like that of his son, when I wanted my own way. That was when he saved me and put my own sins upon his son. Took my sin nature, took it out, and put within me his own son's righteousness. His own son's righteousness, he put it within me. And then he could now look upon me and call me his own son. Brothers and sisters, I'll tell you, there are people who adopt children and disown their adopted children. There are mothers who... Do you know the kind of bond God has put between a woman and her suckling child? For the sake of a suckling child, a woman will go mad to protect her child. You can see it in some animals. You know, I don't know if you've ever come near, you know, when a chicken has a mother hen, thank you, Grandma. You know how the mother hen will spread its wings like that, will attack. Have you ever seen a mother hen attack a hawk before? Then a woman and her suckling child. And God says, a woman can forsake her suckling child. That even if a woman forsake her suckling child, me, I will not forsake you. That to me is the greatest picture of God's love for me. That while I was still a sinner, while I had nothing to do with him, he made me his own. His son, he poured his wrath upon his son. Do you know what his son cried at the cross? The son who every day longed to meet with his father. The son who said that I cannot do anything of my own except that which my father says. At the end, for our sakes, that son said, my father, my God, why have you forsaken? What else could the father give? He's giving his greatest gift. That is his all. That which he has is his son. And he gave that gift that each and every one of us might be his. That is why, to me, it's such a beautiful thing when we see brethren gather together in unity, because this is a picture of heaven. This is the picture of heaven, that our Father would, through his own son, make us his own, so that he will have many sons and daughters unto himself. That to me is what we celebrate. That to me is the greatest picture of the love the Father can give. If I ask my Father, I have a job. Many of us are losing our jobs. If it's for a house, one day we will leave that house. You know, my wife, sometimes now, to climb the step, she has to contemplate. You know, when you look up the stairs, and you know,
We're not spring chicken again, are we? Eh? That house, you would want a smaller house that has no staircase. It's right. The car, it will fade. They will panabit it. You want another one. But the love of our Father, it's an eternal love. It never fades. It never comes to an end. There's no love like the love of our Father for us. Brothers and sisters, when we think about Easter, it's not about... Bawali, what do you say? Which one is bunnies? Easter says not our bunnies or Easter eggs. You know? It's about what... Think about it. What did God do for me? What has God done for me? Anytime you come to those places where you begin to, does God love me? Think about the cross. And in the America of today, you know, I will confess, so me, I came to America as an economic refugee. You know what they call economic refugee? Eh? So that things will be better. So that things will be better. And I thank God for my auntie. You know? You know? That is something, somebody I can never forget. America is getting easier, right? Eh? By faith. All right. Faith shall become reality. But those who trust in their Lord, those who trust in their Lord, they will do what? They will renew their strength. They will do exploits. They will mount up with wings as eagles. Just know that America is not heaven. Thank God. And I think we are already seeing it. You know. So, more than we hope for gold, the American dream, you know, may the American dream not become the American nightmare. That is our prayer. But the Lord will keep his own. Because the cross of Calvary has never been in vain, and it will never be in vain. Now, we were talking about some of our brethren who were killed in northern Nigeria recently. You know, I heard that some few months ago, I think about 70 Christians or 60 Christians were killed. You know, there has been that ongoing. Then this last Sunday, about 52 Christians were killed. I have been praying, and we're looking at ways in which we can support our persecuted brethren. Because one thing that should be good for us as Christians is to find a way that out of our plenty, because by and large, we still have plenty in this land. We have to be able to share our plenty with them. Without the persecuted church, we cannot be complete. And so it's in meeting the needs of our brethren that we are also being perfected by God. Because you see, the church that Christ is building, and you will hear me always say it, I try as much as possible never to make a mistake, is to say, my church. Please, the day I say my church, call me, pull my neck, I give you authority. Pull, you see, right, Usman, you have strength. Pull my shirts, because I'm accountable to you too. Say, Brother Bumi, it's not your church. The church belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this church that he's building is the church without a label. So New Covenant Church is only an administrative label. This church is not New Covenant when it comes to spiritual things, because it's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has only one church. He has only one church. Remember, out of his church, he's called many. He's called many. And out of those many, he chooses a few. Okay. How many disciples did Jesus Christ have? How many disciples were called? How many did he call? Go and call them. Call 12. How many did he choose? I chosen all 12 and one of you. So did that one become an apostle? Sorry? He committed suicide. He was called the son of perdition of his own making, because there were some things in him that he could never get rid of. Brothers and sisters, it's not only pastors, it is every one of us. You know, we learned about Samson, and one of the lessons we learned is that you cannot, with the strength that God has given you, the areas of strength, make up for the areas of weakness. Your life has to be total, in which you are working on everything. If there are skeletons in your cupboard that are not dealt with by God, you can be called, but eventually might not be chosen. You can be called, but eventually might not make it to those whom he has apportioned for his kingdom. Did Judas cast out demons? Eh? He casted out demons. Did he pray with Jesus? Did he go out with Jesus? Did he dine with Jesus? Dine, D-I-N-E, eat food. Did he partake of the Lord's Supper with Jesus? He did everything. And yet, this was a person who betrayed him. Remember that he was the treasurer of the group. And right from the beginning, I'll just take a little bit, nobody will know. That is what got him to the place where he was now 30 pieces of silver. There are things, and it's for me, it's for each and every one of you. If there's vain glory that Jesus Christ taught his disciples, wash the feet of one another. But I want everybody to wash my feet. I have my own. God will deal with it. If there's pride, God will deal with it. God will deal with it. God will deal with it. Amen. Because what he's coming back for is a church without spot or wrinkle. So when he says without spot or wrinkle, how many people can cause a wrinkle? One. Within the whole camp of Israel, only one man called Achan caused a wrinkle. And he said he's coming back for a church without spots and without wrinkle. So before he comes, every one of us, God is going to, anything that will cause a wrinkle or a spot in his church, he's going to deal with it in us. Because of his love for us. Lastly, when we talk about our brethren who are persecuted, you know, I've always asked that question. Why are Christians being killed like animals? One of the worst pictures
that I've ever seen in my life was this missionary sent a picture, you know, sometimes when he used to be with the Voice of Matthias, and there were these three girls. I think it was in Indonesia, I remember well. In Indonesia, Muslim girls. No, not Muslim girls, Christian girls. Indonesia is a majority Muslim country. And I think they went, I don't know what they went for, but they were coming back in the evening and they were caught by these young Muslim boys and deny Christ, they wouldn't deny Christ. Eventually, their heads were severed. And I saw that picture of three heads of these very young girls. Ah! I say, why? 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 God reminded me something, brothers and sisters. You see, with us, life has a break. We believe there's life after death, right? And we believe that that break between this life and the afterlife is called death. That is why we call it life after death. Okay. Before God, the moment you become a born-again Christian, you have eternal life. You have eternal life. Before God, death itself is a spirit that will be defeated like Satan. Because people fear death for one reason. And the Bible tells us why. What's that reason? The sting of death is what? Sin. Thank you, Brother Wale. Sin. That's a sting of death. It's because of sin. Remember, I was talking about sin and sins. Before we were born again, what nature did we bear? The nature of sin. We had the sin nature within us. And God, by what he did through his son on the cross, has taken out that sin nature. And instead of that sin nature, what did he put inside of us now? The righteousness of his son. That we are now made right with him. Before, he could not bear us. He could not look upon us because of our sin nature. Now he can look upon us through the blood of his son because he has called us his own. Now, those three girls, do you know what it is about their life? Because they do not bear a sin nature any longer. Before God, they have eternal life. So they're already in Christ, in eternal life. So their physical death is only a passage from one nature to another nature. From this body to a body that is now a spiritual body. But two, the person who is not born again, death is the passage of this nature into a nature that will be in hell for all eternity. That is the wrath of God that God has saved us from. That is the wrath that God has saved us from. Another thing, everybody, the Bible says that we will receive a just reward of how we have lived our life on this earth. Every one of us. The Bible talks about the crown of life. The Bible talks about the crown of those who are killed, the martyrs. The Bible talks about different things. In 1 Corinthians 6, Paul, talking to the Corinthians, talked to them that all of us, do we not know that we will reign with Christ, that we will be the ones who will judge the angels at the very end. Let me tell you something please, this is just my fantasy. How many planets are there in the whole of the universe? Eh?
Yeah? Anyone? How many planets are there in the whole of the universe? Sorry? You guys, you are... sister, you just gave a talk on science. So yeah, give us now. 9. I didn't say in our own solar system. Okay, let me because these things they intrigue me, so don't mind me. Earth is a planet. Okay. Can anybody tell me another planet? Pluto, Mars, Venus, and so on. Okay. You see, all those things you've mentioned, they are within what we call our own solar system. Okay. Within our solar system, there's also many solar systems. And those solar systems are within a galaxy called the Milky Way galaxy. You see, that Milky Way galaxy has billions of planets, or what they call stars, that Milky Way galaxy. So the Earth is in a galaxy called the Milky Way galaxy. Okay? Think of it like this. Brother Peter has a palace, right? And indeed, he has a palace. Within that palace, he has upstairs and downstairs. Okay? One of the rooms downstairs is Earth. There are many, many other rooms. Okay? So in Brother Peter's palace now, there are many palaces in Bowie. That is the Milky Way galaxy. All right. Now, within this universe, there are billions of galaxies. Let me say they will. Within this universe, there are billions of... I say within the Milky Way galaxy, there are billions of planets. And then within the universe, there are billions of galaxies. And I tell you, it's my own fantasy. What are those galaxies for? What are those planets for? This is my fantasy. If this Earth is too small for us to reign, just as man is wanting to colonize other galaxies, God will have prepared other galaxies for you to be king, if he wants to be king, for you to be whatever you want to be. You see, what God has prepared is too much. You can't feel it all. You can't. What God has prepared for those who love him. You know, as I said, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. What we read about is even too small to what God has done. Because this God that we serve is an everlasting, eternal, magnificent, beautiful, majestic. Think about it. This is the God that we serve. Brothers and sisters, let us always give glory to this God because he is worthy. He is worthy. Let us pray. Precious Lord, once again, we give thanks unto you because your love, the Bible says that you are swift to mercy, you are slow to anger. Your love is eternal, and greater love hath no man than to lay down his life for his brothers. And you demonstrated it, O God. You said you are in your Son, redeeming the world unto yourself. What you have done for us on the cross of Calvary, Lord, we could never thank you enough. We could never appreciate you enough. We could never pay for it. What do we have? What can we pay? But you did it, giving us the free gift of salvation. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for preserving our lives till this day that we can even learn of these things and rejoice. Thank you, Father, for, Lord, who you are. If we were to think about it, we will have headaches because we could never fathom, we could never imagine how majestic and mighty you are. We're only talking about galaxies. We haven't even talked about angels. We haven't even talked about beings that you've created in the heavenlies, oh Lord. Ah, Lord, all I can say, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the Son of Man that you visit, who are we? What are we?
What are we that you could say that you will write our names on the palm of your hands? You will write our names in your book of life. You would make us your children. We can only say thank you. Lord, thank you. Help us to make ourselves and our lives worthy of this gift that you have given, because we could never count ourselves worthy, O Lord. Father, thank you. As we remember your death on the cross, as we remember the Son that you gave, your love that you gave to make us your own, we can only say, be thou exalted, O God. Be thou exalted above the highest of the heavens. In the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, have we prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.